Well, I want to read this morning Psalm 122, verse 1. And it reads, Psalm 122, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Was it that way this morning at your house when you said, come on now, let's get ready to go to church? I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You've heard me say, those shut-ins out there in our church, those whose lives have been to church, they're grieving today. Grieving they're not here. I mean, grieving they're not here. They talk about being in church and a tear drops down their face. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Wow. Well, so-and-so's always in my face about going to church. That's right. He takes seriously this command in the Bible of Hebrews 10:25. Let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. It's an encouragement for you to be up and alive and at it and ready, because Jesus is coming again soon. Do I have a witness? We believe His coming is very soon. We're going to make an appeal this morning about commitment to the church. I want to recognize the wonderful fact that we have scores of people who are a regular part of our worship and fellowship who are not members of the congregation. I said the wonderful fact. We thank God for these people. It is quite a tradition with the Nazarenes, because we are people-oriented, and we believe that our success is much more how many come through the doors any given week than by how many names are on our church roll. And you like that, don't you? That's really who we are. And I don't mean it in a condescending way, but if you ask pastors of some churches, how's your church doing? A lot of times they'll tell, well, our membership is so much. And every once in a while I feel a little mischievous and I want to say, how many did you have Sunday? That's what we want to know. And we're more tuned in to how many come through our doors any given week. And the distinctive difference between us and other church movements is that with great appreciation, we will take what you give us. With great appreciation. For what you give to us in attendance and in participation and in your giving. We appreciate everyone who comes through these doors and consider you ours. Even you visitors today, we're going to claim you as ours for the moment. You're ours right now. And we're not going to report you as members. You're members somewhere else, and that's good, and we thank God for that. To the best of my ability, with all the given circumstances on any given day, because the days are different and the workload varies from day to day, I will do my best to treat every person who attends as though you are a member. And I assure you that Pastor Don and the rest of our pastoral staff will say a hearty amen to that. We love every one of you, whether or not you are a member. You're important to us. And we will consider you as ours and be your pastors. We are grateful that you're a part of us the way you are. I am also delighted to acknowledge that there are a number of our regular folks who are not members of our congregation who are committed to the church and its fellowship, to its programs and ministries, even to the point of tithing and regular attendance. So I'm not talking about membership as much as about a commitment to a church congregation. George Barna, the church researcher, who he doesn't predict what's happening, he researches and reflects what is happening, and tells them what we can see coming down the road, has been telling us what for the last decade or two, that increasingly people do not want to join. So it's going to be increasingly more difficult to get people to join. Well, and again, with the commitment can and often does take place without the membership, but we are convinced and convicted that the Bible instructs every Christian to become committed to some local church. I guess I must average once a day saying to someone, good for you. Good for you. I'm glad you're in church. Even people who had attended our church in the past, when they say hello, I would say, bless you. I'm glad you're in church. Isn't that what we ought to be doing? Bless you for being in church. Well, but committed to the church. I don't mean just a regular attender or tither, but someone committed to a local body of Christ, hands on, heart in, what's going on. In the New Testament, the Greek word ekklesia, which is translates 115 times in the New Testament as church. In some places, this word has the sense of a gathering or throng of people assembled by chance. But at least as often, it means an assembly or duly constituted council of people convened for a specific purpose at a specific place. And another Greek word is soma, which the English New Testament translates 144 times as body. That word soma describes the physical bodies of people and animals, as well as describing a number of people closely united into one society or ethical body. After reading through the scripture verses that use these words, I conclude that we Christians are designed to be an ecclesia, a church in the sense of being a soma, a body. In other words, we are called to be a duly constituted group of people convened for the specific purpose of being the body of Christ in a specific place. Christ, the head, says the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 3, and God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body. And it's more simply stated in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. This means that God expects Christians to be committed to a church in a place. He is the head. We are the hands and feet and heart and embrace of Christ. So it appears that it's the Christian gospel that creates a local church. The only way we see to take the New Testament seriously is to spread the good news that Jesus died to offer forgiveness for our guilt and that He rose again and lives for us today as our Lord. And wherever this message goes, the result is a community of forgiven and transformed sinners. New creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The NIV has it. He is a new creation in and through Jesus Christ, more than only forgiven. I'm not perfect, only forgiven or merely forgiven. Folks, We are more than merely forgiven. If a man be in Christ, he is merely forgiven. No. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hello. You heard about the man? I promise I'll never say that again. His own dog barked at him after he was saved. Didn't recognize him. He was so different. But different. Not just forgiven. Transformed. More than not, these communities of Christians, of churches, are tiny groups. Yet, if they are in Christ and obeying Him to the best of their ability, they are just as authentic as the Crystal Cathedral or Coral Ridge Presbyterian or Kansas City First Church of the Nazarene. Just as authentic. Don't we thank God for Podunk? That's what we always refer to the little struggling church out there. Thank God for Podunk. Out there in Podunk, where there's just a little handful of people, there's the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. There's a Sunday school lesson being taught. There's hope for some sin-sick, weary person. Hallelujah for the church. For the little guys. Just as authentic as the big guys. They are the big guys so often in the sight of God. And God's Holy Spirit comes into the life of each new Christian in these churches, giving them a variety of spiritual gifts and abilities. You remember the story of Charles Spurgeon over in England, one of the most, they say, since Bible days, probably the best preacher that ever was. And on a snowy day, and nobody else showed up but a little handful, and a man who wasn't a regular preacher, a layman, got up and Spurgeon was just a youngin' sitting in the balcony and said, "You up there, do you know Jesus Christ?" And on that unlikely day, with the weather inclement and most nobody showing up and the regular program not going, God transformed that young man and called him into the ministry. Folks, we thank God for Podunk. We thank God for every last church, everybody who's out there trying to keep the kingdom alive. And I was a part of a committee years ago that had to go in and close a church up here in Monroe, Georgia, I believe it was, and telling a precious little old Nazarene lady we couldn't any longer hold service. One of the hardest things I have ever done, having to close a church where the gospel's going out and the hope of Christ. Forgiven sinners with new life in Christ and a new lifestyle. Now equipped with gifts that God gives to us as we walk with Him. We see them being developed in individuals who walk with Him. And so these form the body of Christ. That is a church. The call to the Christian is not to get off someplace to meditate and contemplate in lieu of attending church. It's wonderful to get off and meditate and contemplate, but when Sunday comes or when the services are, if we're able, and we ought to be in somewhere with a group who is worshiping the Lord. But the call is to come together and use our gifts to build up the church. Well, here are several benefits to being a part of a local church. This is simply a list, and I'm going to ad lib a little bit on it. The list was adapted by Tim Isbell from Samuel McCluskey of Fuller Seminary. Number one, New Testament Christians need a place to worship God regularly. Being a spectator of worship by watching TV, listening to a radio broadcast, or just sitting in a congregation on Sunday morning simply doesn't qualify. God wants worshipers, not spectators. This happens best in a local church. Number two, New Testament Christians need a place to get biblical teaching. Sermons provide some instruction. Sermons contain teaching. But growing Christians are those who also desire and participate to be in small Bible study groups called Sunday school. This happens best in a local church. And by the way, it's never gone out. It's never gone out. It's relevant today. it's still alive and well. Sunday school. Then thirdly, New Testament Christians need a place of warm and regular fellowship with other Christians. Wow. Oh, how new Christians come to church to be touched, need to be touched, long to be touched by other Christians, other seekers after Christ. You and I just can't remember, I'm afraid, how desperately after we were first saved, we needed to be touched and needed to have fellowship with others who were seeking Christ. The touch of warmth, of encouragement, of affirmation. That's why friendship time. Anything we can do to give us a vehicle to say, hello, God bless you, good to see you, I haven't forgotten you. And this happens best in a local church. Number four, New Testament Christians need the support of one another through the struggles of life. There is ministry. That very thing, I'm telling you folks, is going on all over the place here in this church. The passing on, the giving of warmth, of encouragement, of affirmation all over this place, before and after our services, and before and after Sunday school. And you can't just come in and go out and not touch lives. If you stick around a minute, someone will stick to you. And by the way, I just got to say, Jack Smithwick's over in the nursery this morning. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Ministry in the nursery. You can't keep a good man down. I'm telling you the truth. That is beautiful. He said, Pastor, I want you to know I'm not out goofing off this morning. I'm serving in the nursery. That's great. Christians who come with a prayer saying, Lord, what can I give? Not what can I get. Not a spectator, a participator. Because, folks, mysteriously, the getting is the byproduct of the giving. And the ones who give are the ones who get. In case you haven't noticed, this is not heaven where we live. I really believe this. Where children were taught, and they lived happily ever after, and we believe that was going to happen here on earth. The happily ever after is the hereafter. And life has its good points, but it's there's sin on this earth. There won't be sin in heaven. That'll make it heaven, won't it? Just that alone. Here we discover in this world that life is hard and that it might not get easier. And if we have children, we also discover that we need a Christian community in which to raise those children. Nothing is sadder than all the world than kids who want to go to church and their parents put it off or postpone it and piddle at it. And that happens best, providing a community to raise your family. It happens best in a local church. Then number five, New Testament Christians need a place to use their spiritual gifts God gives them. Jesus didn't come to this world to be served. He came as the servant. And as part of Christ's body, our role is also to serve. People catch me sometimes scrubbing floors or what have you around here, carrying things or what have you. Most often I'm talking to someone before and after services or things in the fellowship building. But folks, none of us. We all do tables. We all do windows, if you know what I mean. We're none of us above doing anything. We are called to serve. And there are opportunities to serve Christ in the church. God has designed us to bond together, to combine our gifts into a body that can impact the world around us. This happens best in a local church. Then number six, New Testament Christians pool their resources to help the poor and discouraged. And I don't think there's a time we convene where someone somewhere isn't saying, look, would you like to help on such and such, so and so's in need? That goes on, I believe, every time we gather in one way or another. And in our offerings, we give to Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, which has one of the best reputations worldwide. You'll hear of Nazarene Compassionate Ministries now before it's over in Haiti. That name will rise on the main media. We are involved in reaching out to people. And the Bible teaches that followers of God are to give help to the poor and to the needy. It's hard to do that as an individual, but by pulling together, we can help those who are down. This happens best in a local church. Number 7, New Testament Christians choose to accept accountability for their actions and stewardship. We know that a holy life is difficult to live alone. Our submission to some accountability with other Christians is vital to living in a manner that pleases God. This too happens best in a local church. Way back years ago, I realized that committing myself to follow Jesus meant that I would submit myself to living under the authority of Scripture. And I'm convinced that Scripture instructs me to be a regular part of a local church where I can wholeheartedly embrace its doctrines and ministries and fellowship. Most weeks, it's this church, Church of the Nazarene. But one of these days down the road, a ways, Betty and I are going to be another Jack and Ruth Ann Key. And we're going to get all over the place and slip in on other churches to affirm them and encourage them. Did you ever hear Jack Key say anything negative about anybody? Oh, he'll just tell you how great it is, everything you do. What a blessing. What a blessing. I mean, the Lord willing, I want to make the rounds. Catholic, Episcopal, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Baptist, Nazarenes, and on and on. Because there are people in all these churches who love God. A week ago Sunday, while we were out of town, I was a United Methodist and participated with as much conscience and commitment as if I were a Methodist. Writing the pastor the week afterwards and giving him words of encouragement and commendation. He's my brother. We'll share heaven together. New Testament Christians are called by Christ to a commitment to His cause and to His kingdom. The church is the bride of Christ, and Jesus Himself not only made but makes now, as He prays to God the Father in heaven and prepares us a place in heaven, makes a real and costly commitment to His church, to His body. So it's only reasonable that we would make a commitment to Him and His interests. It's so well put there in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship." In the King James, which is your reasonable service. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." We are called to give ourselves completely to God. We are called to be more than just forgiven, more than just becoming new creatures in Christ. We have to take that new life and give it back, give it over to God in consecration. Now, having said all that, we will take what we can get here. I mean that seriously. I thank God for everybody who comes even every other Easter to church or every other Mother Day. Thank God they're here. Thank God they're here. We'll take what we can get. We appreciate everyone who comes through these doors and consider them ours. I love every last one of you. And we are so glad that you are a part of us. The way you are. We'll take you. And all of us are ever improving and becoming more beautiful as we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful out of my life. Praise God. And if you don't see it, you should have known me before I was saved. And He's ever working on me and on you. Praise His name. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Let's try it again. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Praise His name. Praise His name.